Ooh, that feels good taking that off. For joining us online, we're broadcasting from the Kempsville campus here in Virginia Beach, and everybody's looking good masked up. And honey, you look really good masked up. But we want to welcome you today. This is a great day to be in the house of the Lord, and we've been waiting a long time. And I know you've already given a clap offering to the Lord a couple times, but could you do it one more time and say, Lord, we're grateful to be back. And I want to echo what Pastor Jeremy has already said, and that is, thank you so much for following the safety procedures. We've never done this before, but we're a church with a lot of grace and a lot of flexibility. We're trying to acknowledge different points of view at the same time, create a really safe place and a safe space for worship, and it's been an awesome day so far.
Well, today is Pentecost. And since I was raised in a Pentecost church, this is my favorite day of the year. I love it. I love the Holy Spirit. I just love it. I love when we can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I love the power. I love the revelation. I love prophecies. I just love everything. I love surprises. I love it that it's a gift. I love everything about the Holy Spirit. And so today it's always fun for me to be reminded in whatever the service or whatever is in the sermon, filling, refilling. I don't care. I just love it being poured, dripped, whatever. I love it. And so it's also the birth of the church. So today is our birthday as the church. And I think even as we're socially distancing this time, it's been interesting because we've felt like even the church is as we've gone closer. And we've heard it time and time again of people online that we are feeling closer with people around the world now. Our church is being closer, but yet we're social distancing. I don't know, except the Holy Spirit does it. So today, we are believing for a miracle for every one of you. Wherever you are at, whatever you're believing God for, this is Pentecost. Why not today, the gift of miracles come on your life? So we're believing for that.
Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you, honey. I want to acknowledge our campuses that are joining us now, Deep Creek, Ghent, and Town Center. Welcome today. I want to share a message with you, kind of in line of my wife's exhortation there. And the message today is entitled, Your Pentecost Story. Your Pentecost Story. I don't want you just to hear mine or read one in the Bible, but our goal in the next 30 minutes is that you would have a Pentecost story all of your own. Now, before we go into the sermon today, it's important that we acknowledge what's going on in our nation at this hour. There's a great deal of stress and weariness and confusion in the lives of many people, including mine. It's kind of like America is facing the perfect storm. We've got the stress of COVID-19 and masking up and social distancing and all of that. Even going shopping is nerve-wracking for some. We also have economic uncertainty. Some economists say the unemployment rate is approximately 30 million, which is a lot of men and women that are needing a job. There's the anniversary of the tragedy of last year at this time. Do you remember? 17 people were killed in Virginia Beach by a gunman. We also have the unprecedented political rancor. Facebook is a war zone. Social media is not just sharing about your families, it's become a forum of venting, trolling, name calling. And of course, there's the tragic death of George Floyd. That's grievous any way you look at it, and the appropriate protesting that followed, but then the unlawful rioting that's devolved to. I have considered taking my Pentecost message and just pushing it to the side and doing a message on this situation we have in our world today. But I'm not prepared to do that. These things can't be digested in a soundbite. It takes reflection and thought and prayer. And I will address it, certainly. We're going to talk. I'm not prepared to talk today about that. Maybe prepared is not the right way to say it, but better to say this. There's nothing better than I would want to prepare you with than to talk about the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit gives us the tools and the inner working of God so we can best effectively address the issues of our day. And I do want to do a shout out to Police Chief Boone of Norfolk, Virginia. Now, we only have one campus in Norfolk. But we know Chief Boone. He has spoken at our church's banquet for the Life Enrichment Center. He's truly a great, great leader and a great man. He's African American, if you don't know him. And when we had the peaceful protesting in Norfolk, Virginia, he was there with the protesters doing two things at the same time: defending the honor of the men in blue, women in blue, at the same time having solidarity with the African-American community. And he was able to weave those two things, and we had a peaceful protest in our cities in the Hampton Roads area. And I think we should give God thanks for that. Would you put your hands together, please? America has always a history of protest. The Revolutionary War started with some of our founding fathers throwing tea into the harbor of Boston. That was an act of defiance. They broke the law, but it was an expression of a nation that was restless with the affairs of the day. So it's been our history, but where it crosses the line when it becomes violent and people are hurt and innocent people are caught up in things that are not their affairs. And I know we all can agree on the majority of these concepts. And thank you, church. We have a church of so many different points. Hey, I never been in this room has a different point of view about wearing a mask. And yet we all say, well, we can work together. I think it's the same thing with our nation. We may not have the same point of view, but we do love the same Savior, and we have the same Holy Spirit, and we're citizens of the same nation. And the church is not part of the problem. The church is part of the solution. Say amen to that, would you please? Here's the good news today, praise the Lord, that in the midst of our problems and maybe personal pains, there is a Holy Spirit. His name is Comforter. His name is Advocate. His name is Teacher. The church is the bastion of the Holy Ghost, where you can find relief in your day of weariness. You can find hope when you're at a dead-end street. The Holy Spirit is that which comes upon us on the day of Pentecost and empowers our life with the very third person of the Godhead. You and I were meant on this planet to live with the assistance, the power, the help of the Holy Ghost. I was raised on a farm. Most of you know that. Our farm had farm equipment. We had big tractors and big trucks. I drove a big car in high school. It was a 1953 Buick Riviera Coupe. And none of those equipment had power steering, so my car had a big steering wheel. I mean, if you have a car from the 1950s, you might, I know there'd be antiques today, but they would have this, the great big steering wheel, because you can't turn a car without the fulcrum being large like that. And all the farm equipment, the tractor. I mean, the tractor steering wheel is like this, because to turn that front wheel with that much weight took a lot of mechanical help. And then in the 1970s, along came power steering. Power steering changed the way we drove tractors and the way we drove trucks and then certainly the way we drove cars. I could drive the biggest tractor that was made by, there's like Case, which is a big tractor dealer. And I could turn a tractor with my little finger. Just stick it on that steering wheel. How could I do that? Because it was power assisted. You are designed, this constitution of body, soul, and spirit is designed to carry the power of God to assist you. That doesn't mean you don't have to do things. It means that when you do things, the power of God can take a task, can take a responsibility that you must do, and lift some of that burden so that no longer is it trying to manage with brute force, that you have the power of the Holy Spirit. I love the way it says this in Luke 24:49. Jesus had gone to the cross, Praise the Lord. Our sins were now no longer covered. They were forgiven. We could now be born again, regenerated, adopted into the family of God. Salvation had come to mankind. The new covenant had been inaugurated. And yet Jesus says, hold it. I know y'all saved. Y'all going to heaven. But if you're going to live down here on this planet, you're going to have to wait. Wait till you get the accessories necessary, the power steering necessary to live this life. And he says it this way, behold, it's just shortly before his ascension. He's resurrected from the dead. He has his glorified body. He says, behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. This is a beautiful title for the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. But tarry, that is wait. Don't go about your life or your ministry or your family or your business, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endowed with power from on high. Isn't that a beautiful phrase? Endowed from power on high. The Holy Spirit today wants to give you a power from another realm. Now, this power is not to be a subconscious power. Like, I've got the power, I don't really feel it. I don't sense it. I don't know that it's happening to me on an effective level. I'm trusting it's happening on a subconscious level. Nowhere in the book of Acts does the Holy Spirit work on a subconscious level. Every single case in the New Testament, you know when, where, and how you were touched by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, because we don't want to acknowledge the fact that maybe we're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, we play mental games like, I really have the Holy Spirit. I don't feel Him. I don't sense Him. In worship, I don't sense Him. I don't sense Him in prayer. I don't have anything miraculous happen. I don't have a prayer language, but I know He's working. Oh, let's get off that and say, I'm hungry for more. Lord, whatever I've experienced thus far, I'm thankful for, but I am looking for more. It's called the power from on high. Hallelujah. Not the power of your government, not the power of your church, not the power of your ethnicity, the power of your political party, not the power of your pastor or the power of your family. It's the power from on high. It's a power from another dimension. It's a power that's supernatural. It's a power that the world cannot contain, nor can the world control. And it's accessed for those to whom God Himself gives it. Thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit. I was saved in the fall of 1975. Man, it was a crazy time for me. I'd been depressed for so long, I didn't think I remembered how to smile. It was ridiculous. And then I get saved in a college Bible study, and a month later, somebody gives me a book about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I read that little book, couldn't believe it. I was a Lutheran. Us Lutherans were never taught anything about tongues. Or miracles, or gifts of the Spirit, or none of that stuff. And I read that book. I was fascinated by that book. And I prayed the prayer to receive the Holy Spirit in the library. Just like I'm studying calculus. I was a math major. I'm studying calculus, and all the time I'd get the book, and I read the book. Man, oh, man, oh, man. And it has a little prayer in the book, right? And I read that little prayer, and I received the Holy Spirit. There's no bells and whistles. I didn't have any flashes of light. But I tell you, something shifted in me, and that started a process in me that over time was punctuated by these encounters with the Holy Spirit. And as that has continued to today, and yet I look back at those early days saying, man, there's a rawness of some of those early experiences with the Holy Ghost that I really, really, I finally recall. Can I encourage you today? Let your best testimonies be what's happening now, not what happened when you got saved. How about your best testimonies happening this year and not back in 1985 when you got God? How about every year we get better testimonies than the year before? More miracles than the year before. More signs and wonders, more fruit in our ministry than the year before. I want to show you something. I'm going to run three videos back to back. Each are 2 minutes long. Of three people in our church, and they're going to share with you their experience of receiving the Holy Spirit. And you're going to find all three are different, just like all of your experiences are or will be different. and mine will be different too. Because the Holy Spirit tailors that encounter to you just right to maximize long-term effect. Would you go ahead and run that, please?
Friends in high school invited me over, and her mom was an amazing woman of God. She sat me down and she said, "Jeff, I want to show you something." And she would open up the scripture to me, and she showed me the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and she would teach me there's more to your walk with Christ. And I thought, okay, I'm interested. Tell me more. And so she started giving me tapes, teaching tapes. That kind of dates me, I know, but she started giving me teaching tapes about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I started listening to those. So fast forward a few months, one of the churches in town had a big tent revival in my small town. They gave an altar call, and they said in their cowboy voice, "If anybody wants some more of the Holy Spirit, you come on down, come up front, and we'll pray for you." So I said, "Well, that's me. I definitely want more. I want everything that God has for me." So he says, "All right." And he puts his hand on my stomach right here. And he lifts his hand up. And all of a sudden, I could feel like this fire, this heat right here in my belly. And it was coming up. I could just feel it coming, right? And because I had listened to those tapes, I knew what to do. I knew that I just let it out. And it just came out, shandalalababa, like 100 miles per hour, these tongues. And this old country preacher, he takes his hat off and he goes, "Yeah!" And he motions to his other altar workers. He's like, "I got one, come here, you know. And it's this hilarious moment, right? For me, it was life-changing and powerful.
Experience with baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was United Methodist, and I didn't know anything about the Lord or anything. So I received the Lord while I was there, and when I was 16, I finally understood what it meant to just be saved. Didn't know anything about baptism of the Holy Spirit. I went on to Bible college, and my Bible college taught against it. And as a matter of fact, you had to sign a waiver saying, "I do not speak in tongues," to even graduate. My girlfriend had joined a Pentecostal church, and she had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and she was really like my mentor. And so she took me to her church. Out of the 500 people at that church, the pastor singled me out and called me up front and asked me if I had the Holy Spirit. And I said, "Sure, I have the Holy Spirit. I'm saved, I have the Holy Spirit." And he chuckled and he said, "Yeah, well, do you speak in tongues?" And I said, "No." He said, "Uh-huh, raise your hands." So I raised my hands, he prayed over me, nothing happened. But I really had gotten to a place in my walk with the Lord where I knew there was more. I knew there was more. And I was frustrated even in my own worship. Like the English wasn't enough. And so the next day I went into an empty office during my lunchtime to have my devotions like I normally did. I went in, and as soon as I closed the door, I just raised my hand to worship the Lord, and tongues came out. And I was like, "Who said that?" It's almost like somebody, I had a stopper inside that was holding something down and holding something back, and someone pulled the stopper out, and it was just like rivers flowing. And it was such a release and worship for me. And then from there, I began to grow from there.
You know, growing up at New Life, I'm very comfortable. I've been around things like, you know, like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and people praying in tongues and what have you. And so growing up, I remember being super excited about the day that I would get to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I remember maybe being 13 or 14 years old, and Pastor Dan gave a sermon about the baptism of the Spirit, and at the end there was an altar call, and I was really looking forward to it. I was really excited, and I go up there, you know, get in line with everybody, got my hands out, and I'm ready to receive, and, you know, people around me are experiencing it in lots of different ways, and you know, and then it comes my turn, and I'm being prayed for, and it didn't have this magical, like, outward expression. You know, I didn't feel anything super tingly, or, you know, I didn't get slain in the Spirit or anything like that. But what did happen was, on the inside, I knew something really happened. You know, it made it, like I said, it didn't feel the way I thought it would feel. But I knew that because of the faith I had in that moment, I knew that I was going to be forever changed, that something happened in me that when I could walk away that day and be confident, I had the Holy Spirit with me. I had the Holy Spirit inside of me. And to be honest, I wouldn't trade that experience for the world. You know, knowing that I get to partner with the Holy Spirit, I get to be with the Holy Spirit. And that's my story. It happened that way.
On the day of Pentecost, the Word of God says in Acts 2, verse 17, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Don't you love the fact that the Lord pours out His Spirit? He doesn't give you just a little bit, and He will pour His Spirit out on you today, just like we saw in those three videos. It'll be unique to your temperament, unique to where you're at in God, unique to your previous experiences, unique to your expectations. But he says, I will pour my Spirit out on all flesh. If you are an all flesh, could you raise your hand here and in the video services? If you qualify as an all flesh, now that was not a trick question. That was, regardless of ethnicity, gender, socioeconomic status, religious background, He wants to pour His Spirit out on your life. And when He pours His Spirit out, something happens to you. And I want to share three things that happen to you. I'm going to do these rather quickly. I'm not going to talk about miracles today and tongues today and all that. I'm not going to do that today. The narrative in the book of Acts, chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit's poured out, the Apostle Peter is there, and three things happened to his life in that moment that changed the rest of his life. Those same three things happened in my life when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1975. And it has happened in every life of every person since when they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. I would even call maybe these three things the evidence of the Holy Spirit. They always accompany the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so the number one, you want to write these down, or if you're watching online or watching in one of our campuses today, the first blessing is that there's an incredible joy that's released in your life. The Apostle Peter is with these upper room believers, and they're full of the Holy Spirit, and they're going around magnifying God in the language of those that are in Jerusalem because of the Feast of Pentecost. All the nations around the Mediterranean are represented, and all the languages are being spoken by men and women that did not know those languages. And everybody's perplexed and amazed, and all they can do is say this, these folks must be drunk. And the Apostle Peter says, they're not drunk. Acts 2 and 15, he says, they are not drunk as you suppose. He says, they're not drunk. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, why would you call somebody drunk that's filled with the Holy Ghost? Let me tell you what it's not. It's not because I can't stand up. I'm completely wiped out. I'm just, don't let me drive home. I'm just completely. No, I don't think so. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it doesn't disconnect your brain. It does not disconnect your ability to be emotionally aware. There was such a release of joy where there was this heaviness and fear, and they had been praying for 10 days, and they were in a Roman governed country, and the Sadducees and the Pharisees who had just crucified the Lord Jesus were on the look for the rest of those Christians. And they get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and there's such a release of joy. They began to declare the goodness of God, the magnificence of God, in articulate, compelling ways. And they said, man, we can't explain. These guys must be drunk. Well, they weren't drunk because they were sloppy. They weren't drunk at all. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to say it this way. They were happy. Romans chapter 14, 17 says this. He says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, which is the word in Greek for justice. So this could be translated this way. The kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but justice. That'll preach right there. The kingdom of God is not about your right standing with God, like in righteousness. The kingdom of God is more about the social impact of the gospel called justice. So the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but justice or righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. You see that in the Holy Spirit on that verse? Now, scholars will say either that phrase, in the Holy Spirit, describes righteousness, peace, and joy. It describes them all. Or describes just the last word in the sentence, which is the word joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. And I have leaned both ways over time. Both ways are okay, by the way. And both would be doctrinally supportable. But I think it's really joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, the kingdom of God is about being right standing with God and right standing with your neighbor. And you get a peace with God and a peace of God. And how do you get through this life? You get joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Spirit. When I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, I had been depressed about 8 months, steadily depressed. I'm a melancholy by temperament, and so I'm kind of, I'm kind of a Van Gogh kind of a guy. I can cut my ear off if giving me a knife when I'm feeling depressed. That's just the way I am. And I was in a cave. I'd been in a cave since about the middle of my senior year of high school, and I couldn't climb out of that cave. Parting with my friends didn't help me. Nothing helped me. I was in a cave. But when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, now, by the way, I'm for medication and for counseling and all that. It's very, very helpful, very much needed. But my story, my Pentecost story, is when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, that depression left me like that. I had joy in the Holy Ghost. I had no rational reason. I was the same guy with the same neurons in my brain, the same life story I had before. But I had now been touched by a power outside the dimension of the earth. Heaven had invaded my body and touched my soul. Now, after that, and I walked in the joy of the Lord for a couple of years. After that, that darkness started to creep back, and I had to contend for my joy in different ways through discipleship and other means. And so I'm not denying. It wasn't like a one time was gone forever kind of a thing. It was kind of a down payment on a life of joy. Don't underestimate the pleasure of the joy in the Holy Ghost. Listen, you can have the whole world or have nothing the world has to offer. But if you've got the joy in the Holy Spirit, you've got enough. You could be a sharecropper in a tar paper shack and never have owned a dollar, a car, or a piece of property, and many would have found the joy in the Holy Ghost. Here's the problem: you get the joy in the Holy Ghost, you're going to smile a lot. I've never seen anybody on a jet ski going 40 miles an hour down a lake that doesn't smile. When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, if you're not doing some smiling, I'm going to step back and question what you've received. You cannot be dour, sad, and oh me, oh my. And so we're facing these things in our cities today, and the violence and the protest and the rioting and all the stuff that's happening and the COVID crisis and everything. It'd be easy to get down underneath that pile. And we should grieve for those, and we should have something in our heart that's troubled. That is true. But at the very same time, we have the ability to have the joy in the Holy Spirit that can allow us to endure, and not just to endure, but to have victory in whatever circumstance you're in. If you're grateful for that, would you say amen with me? The second thing that everybody gets when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost is the boldness in the Lord. Here's Peter, who 50 days earlier had denied Jesus and said three times in the front of a little girl to some Roman soldiers, "I don't know him, I don't know him, I don't know who that guy is." The cock crowed and he realized he had betrayed the Savior like the Savior had predicted. He goes back to fishing. He was a coward with a capital C. His sin was actually worse in some ways than Judas. Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter denied him that he even knew him. What turned that guy into the preacher on the day of Pentecost? It says here in Acts chapter 2, but Peter, coward Peter, quitting Peter, Peter the denier, standing up with the 11, raised his voice. There's a time to stand up in the Holy Ghost and to raise your voice. And here's Peter, who was spineless, now had a spine of steel. He stood up in front of the same soldiers that had put Jesus to the cross, the same Pharisees who had shouted out, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him," and the same Pontius Pilate who washed his hands, and he said, "I'm not afraid anymore. I'm standing up and I'm declaring to all who can hear who Jesus is." He did it his whole life. At the end of the life, he was not afraid to be crucified. Church history tells us he was no longer afraid of that death. He said, "Crucify me if you must, but if you do, crucify me upside down so that I'm not at the same, crucified the same way as my Savior." So he went from a coward to a martyr, because he had the boldness of the Holy Spirit. When I was first saved, I evangelized more in those first 6 months than I can imagine. I won't tell you all the stories, but I had a boldness to share with my classmates at college, a boldness to share with my high school friends that are now all of us out of high school. And when I would find them, I would share Christ with them. Some got saved, some didn't get saved. Some seed lands on good soil, some seed does not. But when you get the Holy Ghost, you're a seed thrower. You're a seed spreader. You could say, "I don't know if it's legal or not to tell about Christ, but I'm going to talk about Christ anyway." What was the threat of the early Christians to the Roman Empire? Is because they said there was another king, and they were not going to be quiet about it. Oh, a new boldness to share Christ. I wrote letters to people that were dying. I said, "Do you know Jesus?" I led people in the baptism of the Holy Spirit that first year of college. I led, I don't know, dozens of people in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was just kind of the thing I did. I was confident. I had the boldness of God to lead people in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So what are two evidences of being baptized in the Holy Spirit? The first one is a joy in the Holy Ghost. It is an emotional stem winder. Number two, it causes something to rise up and you're not afraid anymore to speak out about Jesus. Does anybody need that today? I'm not saying you have to be a blithering idiot and just completely disconnect your brain. I mean, you got to have some sensibilities about you, but there's no fear in you. And you're listening to God and you can speak up. And in our culture today, people do need to stand up and speak up for God and for the ways of God and the ways of Christ and the biblical worldview and so forth. And that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. And third and final one today is when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, everybody, this happens to everybody. It happened to me. It happened to Peter. You have a revelation in the Word of God. The Scripture comes alive. The Scripture comes. Now get this, folks. Peter is in the upper room, right? He gets baptized in the Holy Ghost. He steps outside. He starts telling everybody about Jesus. An hour later, people are saying, "Man, everybody around here is drunk." Peter stood up and he said this, "This is that which the prophet Joel prophesied about, that in the last days God will pour his Spirit out on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams and your young men shall have visions." Where did he get that sermon? He's quoting the book of Joel. His mommy and his daddy had taught him that. As a little boy, he was a good Jewish boy. He had that word in him, but he didn't understand it. There was no anointing on it. It didn't come alive to him. But the minute he got the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden that word that had been placed in him, all of a sudden now came electrified. He preached it. And not only did he preach that, he just kept preaching. In his first sermon, by the way, he preached Psalm 16. From Psalm 16, he preached Psalm 68. From Psalm 68, he preached Psalms 110. And then he closes it out with preaching Psalms 132. No manuscript. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance that which you've been taught. He just preached the Word of God because the Word of God came alive. Listen, in this COVID-19 crisis, you can splurge and gorge and what's the word when you watch a lot of something? Binge. Thank you. You can binge on Netflix. I'm not judging you. But how about binging on the Word of God? Saying, oh, Holy Spirit, I'm going to take this time, shut up with you, and I'm going to read your Word and come, breathe on it afresh. May become living and active in my life once again. The great revivalists, D.L. Moody and Charles Finney, both were baptized in the Holy Ghost, but were not classical Pentecostals. Both had ministries where they preached to people every day, every weekend, every month, and people were getting saved. Both men describe a baptism in the Holy Spirit experience that was very dramatic. And both men say after they received the Holy Spirit, where there had just been a few saved, now many were saved. Where there was 10, there was now 100. Where there had been 100, there was now 1,000. How could they preach the same scriptures, the same sermons, but have 10 times the results? It was the Holy Spirit had made that word come alive. Oh God, today I say, Holy Spirit, I want your word to come alive to me. I don't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from your mouth, your word is living and active. And friends, if the Holy Spirit inspired the writing of Scripture, it's the Holy Spirit's responsibility and privilege to anoint that when you read it, that it comes alive to you. What happens when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost? You get the joy of the Holy Spirit. Bye-bye ongoing depression and fear and anxiety. I may have to fight you from time to time, but I've been touched by the Holy Spirit. Nothing wrong with medication and doctors. They're great, but I also have the Holy Spirit. Bye-bye being intimidated and fearful and not being able to stand up and not evangelizing and talking to my neighbor and just being so seeker-friendly that nobody even knows I'm a Christian. The Lord, when you give me the green light, I am ready in the power of the Holy Ghost to share Christ and what he's done for me. Hallelujah. And that third thing is that your word of God isn't collecting dust no more. It's a sword that's been unsheathed. And look out, devil. Look out, poverty. And look out, disease. Because the word of God is being read and spoken. What's your Pentecost story? It's a promise of the Father to you today.